Numbers chapter 11, and we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 35. If you have your pew Bibles, you're using your pew Bibles, that's found on page 220. Page 220, Numbers chapter 11. And we are going to read beginning in verse 1. And these are the words of God. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and His anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes." Now the manna was like coriander seed, and its color like the color of bdellium. The people went about and gathered it, ground it on millstones or beat it in the mortar, cooked it in pans and made cakes of it, and its taste was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil. And when the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna fell on it. Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, every one at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses also was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom, as a guardian carries a nursing child,' to the land which you swore to their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give to all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I am not able to bear all these people alone, because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now, if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness." And so the Lord said to Moses, "Gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the Spirit that is upon you, and will put the same upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. Then you shall say to the people, 'Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat, for you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, "Who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have despised the Lord who is among you, and have wept before Him, saying, 'Why did we ever come out of Egypt?'" And Moses said, "The people whom I am among are 600,000 men on foot, yet you have said, 'I will give them meat, that they may eat for a whole month.' Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them, to provide enough for them, or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them, to provide enough for them?" And the Lord said to Moses, "Has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tabernacle. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened, when the Spirit rested upon them, that they prophesied, although they never did so again. But two men had remained in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. and the Spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle, yet they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Then Moses said to them, Are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. And Moses returned to the camp, he and the elders of Israel. Now a wind went out from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea, and left them fluttering near the camp, about a day's journey on this side, and about a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp, and about 2 cubits above the surface to the ground. And the people stayed up all day, all night, and all the next day, and gathered the quail. He who gathered least gathered 10 homers. And they spread them out for themselves all around the camp, but while the meat was still between their teeth before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. And so he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because they buried the people who had yielded to craving. From Kibroth Hattaavah, the people moved to Hezeroth and camped at Hezeroth. And those are God's words. Everything here in chapter 11 between the Lord and Israel, it seemed before this, had gone very well. And yet, here, at this point, it is when the people sinned and they complained. They were complaining, and they were complaining at the Lord's providence. That is how He was bringing about everything for His people in life. Well, they are complaining then about the Lord and what He has brought to them. And so God, therefore, was angry with them. The consuming fire burned against them, and some died, consuming them. And Moses, as mediator, prayed. And the fire then was quenched. But then sin broke out again amongst Israel. They wanted food like they had when they were in Egypt, in slavery and bondage. And so they complained about not having good enough food anymore. And again, complaining about God. And Psalm 106 talks about this when it says, But Israel lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. How like Israel in chapter 11 we are, beloved. We're often found complaining at the Lord's providences and mercies. What we need to know, though, is through varying circumstances, that is, upon the Lord's different providences, some that seem good, some that seem bad or difficult or dark or hard, our God is leading us, just like He's leading Israel here, to the promised land of glory, to heaven, just like Israel, He was leading Israel to the promised land of Canaan. And sometimes we complain. If only I had a better job, if only I had a better spouse, if I only had more income, and we put God to the test, like Psalm 106 says. So God, in His mercy and justice, what did He do? He caused manna to come down from heaven and fall upon the camp of God's people. In verse 10, the people complained about the manna. It was too much manna. They wanted meat. They wanted meat like they had in Egypt. But this was what the Lord provided. And so again, they're complaining about God Himself. And so the Lord was angry again. And Moses was angry too about what the people were doing. The people for Moses began to be too much of a burden to him. Because they kept complaining and kept complaining and kept complaining. Moses being shown here as then a mediator, but not an adequate mediator. He's not able to bear the burden of the people, unlike Jesus Christ, who is able to bear our burden perfectly. And it's here that the Lord appoints Moses' help in the 70 elders who would help Moses rule. And then this being the 70 elders, where we see that first, the very first, this big principle in Scripture, the wisdom of Presbyterianism, of elders leading and guiding the people. And the Lord also promises then, verse 18, to provide meat. They've complained. They wanted food like Egypt, so he gave them manna. And then they complained about that, so he now gives them meat. And again, this is God's mercy. At the same time it's mercy, it is also justice. Because we see how much meat they are given by God. You want meat, God says, or they said, well, God gives them an abundance of meat, so much meat that it was too much. And so they get sick of the meat. And as promised, the 70 elders appointed, the Holy Spirit came and rested upon them and they prophesied. And this shows that the power of faithfulness for elders, the power of being a faithful Christian, a faithful elder, just to be faithful as a child of God, is something given to us by the Holy Spirit. It is not something that we do with our own willpower, that somehow we can will within ourselves faithfulness to the Lord. It is something that the Holy Spirit brings, or that God sends by His Holy Spirit and puts within us and gives us. Then verse 31, the Lord brought the meat in the form of quail. And it says, verse 33, but while the meat was still between their teeth before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. It doesn't say what the plague was, but it was a very great plague. And so he called the name of that place Kibroth Hataavah, which means graves of grieving, or graves of craving, excuse me. And they craved the meat so much, well, they, through that, dug their own graves, essentially. And this reminds us again of Romans 1. The whole chapter reminds us of Romans 1. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. That's what we see in our world today, in our culture today. People craving sinful things, the lust of the flesh, and God continually giving them over to those lusts of the flesh. He's not holding it back from them. They want it, and so He gives it to them. And it gives it to them, and gives it to them, and it leads to their judgment. The world today around us is just like that, and just like Israel, and sometimes we fall into that, and so God in His discipline also gives us what we want. Christian, you want something sinful, then here you have it. And it leads to great grief and sorrow in our hearts and great struggle in our lives. It's our calling, though, to turn from those things. And it's our calling to call others in the world to turn from those things and turn to the perfect mediator, not to Moses, but to the perfect mediator, Jesus Christ, and believe the gospel. It's our calling to stop complaining. And it's our calling to be satisfied in whom? In Christ alone. It's not in the things of this world. It's not in meat or food. It's not in the lusts of the or the pleasures of the flesh. It is in Christ alone that we must be satisfied. And that was the problem for Israel. They were not satisfied in God alone, who brought them out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage and slavery. And so let's look to the Lord now in prayer and ask for His help in this. Father, we're thankful in Christ, Your Son, that You have given Him for us, that You have given Him to come incarnate to the earth and to live a perfect righteous life, to die a perfect sacrificial death. And that's what we've been hearing about in Sabbath school, the atonement. And so, Father, we ask that You would watch over us and care for us, that we would often be coming back to that doctrine of the life-giving and death sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we're thankful that not only did He die and was buried, but on the third day He rose from the dead, in which this, the Lord's Day, we celebrate the resurrection, but we celebrate also the whole entirety of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, we praise You that You give us this not only in the Scriptures, You put that within our hearts by Your Holy Spirit, the truth of Your Word, and You cause Your Word to dwell in our hearts. And so, Father, we ask that You would do so today, that we would remember the complaining people of Israel, and that often we are found complaining and grumbling in our hearts, and even with our words to one another. And when we're complaining, we're actually complaining about You, not about our circumstances. When we're complaining about those circumstances, we're complaining about Your providence and Your goodness to us, because You work all things together for the good of those who love You and are called according to Your purposes. So even those things in our lives that You've predestined, You've brought about into our lives at the right time, even where we will live, as the book of Acts tells us, and what we will do, Father, You bring that to us, and we often still complain and grumble, and that is a complaining and a grumbling about You. And so, Father, we ask that You would turn us from our sin and cause us by Your Holy Spirit to be faithful to You, be faithful in being satisfied in Christ alone. Father, we need Your help by Your Spirit to move us to be satisfied in Him alone. And so, Father, bring that about in our lives. And we love Your Son. We love what He has done for us. We love who He is. Not merely what He's done for us, but who He is. He is the God-man. He is the King who reigns over all. He's our mediator who intercedes for us and who died for us and lives for us. And we in union with Him. And so we take Him and we love Him and we're satisfied in Him alone. Father, may that be true of everyone here, even of our children, and that they would love Your Son, Jesus Christ, and bow the knee to Him. Father, we pray for those who are not feeling well, myself and my family. We ask that You would heal them, but also Lillian, who's not feeling well, and ask that You would heal our bodies, that You would strengthen all of us to serve You and to worship You today and for the rest of our lives. Father, we also ask for our government, because you say, You command to pray for those, for all kinds of people, for You desire such to be saved. We ask that You would watch over and care for our governing rulers, that You would cause them to rule according to Your word. But above all things, we ask that You would bring about their salvation, and You would bring about the growth of Your kingdom, not only for those rulers over us, but as we go out, as we testify the gospel. We ask that You would care for us and strengthen us to be able to tell people of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and that people would hear and they would believe unto salvation, not because of us, but because of Your Holy Spirit who changes their hearts and for Your glory alone. We pray that You would use our congregation for the growth of Your kingdom and the building up of Your kingdom. You alone build the church. You build the building and the house of God. And so, Father, do Your great work and use us as Your instruments in that. And, Father, make us bold. Make us not cower in fear towards men who are weak compared to You. But in our weakness, we pray that You would show Yourself strong by Your grace, which is sufficient for us. Give us the right words, and may Your Spirit be sent ahead of us and doing Your great work of regeneration and making, causing hearts to be born again or born from above by You. Father, we ask that You would strengthen our church, grow us in sanctification, cleansing us of our sin and putting righteousness on us, clothing us with the righteousness of Christ. And yet, Father, we also pray that You would, grow Your church numerically or in quantity. This congregation even, though we pray for throughout the world, because we desire not just for our church to grow, but for the church throughout the world, Your whole bride to grow and Your kingdom to spread for Your glory and honor and praise. Father, we ask that You would bless us in our worship as we continue worshiping You now. We ask that You would be they would use the things that we give and the offering for Your glory and for the spread of Your kingdom, and not for our own glory, not for what we want, but for what You desire of us, and for those things to be done, whatever it is that You want those things to be done in Your church. We ask that You would guard us from error and keep us from sin. We ask that You would help elders as they submit and seek to submit to Jesus Christ, who is the King and head of the church. Father, we ask that You would give wisdom to the elders, give wisdom to the deacons, and help all of us to turn from error, that we would not be easily led astray. And when wolves come in, because you promise that wolves will come into the church, when they do come in, we pray that you will guard us and protect us. And false teachers, false prophets come in, that they would be shut up, and they would be cast out, and they would be cursed for their wickedness. Father, we ask that you would give us wisdom in all that, all those things, and patience and grace and humility, for we are weak in and of ourselves. Father, in all these things, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who's head and King of the church. Amen.